Will you turn in God's word to that 15th chapter of the book of Jeremiah the prophet? As the remnant of God's people today in our land, I believe our situation and our circumstances are very similar to that of Jeremiah the prophet. He was called to be a minister of God's word over a period of 40 years. From the 13th year of Josiah, that's 627 BC, to the 11th year of Zedekiah, that's 587 BC in Judah. Because of the nation's rejection of the true and the living God and his word, the prophet himself was rejected. Listen again to his dejection in the chapter we read here, chapter 15 and verse 10. Woe to me, my mother, that thou hast borne me, a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury. Yet every one of them doth curse me. I want us this evening, first of all, to remind ourselves something of the call of Jeremiah the prophet. In the 13th year of Josiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying in Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God's purposes, as with all his children, begin long before we are even conceived. And Jeremiah responded, Our Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. We then read that the Lord put forth his hand and touched Jeremiah's mouth, saying, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over nations and over kingdoms, to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down and to build and to plant. The Lord never calls a person to his service without equipping them. I think of my own experience when the Lord was calling me to the Christian ministry in North Devon, and there were a number of other young men who had been called to the Christian ministry and went off to the London Bible College and the Bible Training Institute in Glasgow. And my argument with God was this, they're more able than I am. But God, when he calls us, equips us for his service. As with all God's work, the rubbish of sin has to be cleared before the benefits of grace can be established. And in the day of Jeremiah's calling, we find that the Lord made clear to Jeremiah the problems and the difficulties that he faced. If we turn to that first chapter of Jeremiah, and verses 17 to 19, we find that it was no romantic calling that the Lord gave to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1:17, Thou therefore gird up thy loins, arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defence city, and an iron pillar, and a brazen wall against the whole land, against kings of Judah, and against princes thereof, against priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. The Lord always makes clear to people what they are facing when they take up the work of God. And at the beginning we find there was some improvement, because young Josiah had come to the throne of Judah, and he was a good king in comparison with some of the others. But the land was full of corruption amongst the politicians and in the church. If we turn to Jeremiah chapter 6 in verses 13 into 15, we see the problems that he faced. From the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. From the prophet even to the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they have committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Could that not be said of our own nation in the last parliament we had, with some of the legislation that was passed, which was a direct affront to Almighty God and His moral law, and yet there was not a blush amongst those that passed that legislation. Jeremiah lived in a parallel situation to what you and I face today. Things improved with Josiah's reformation, you remember. In 622 and 621 BC, they found part of the book of Deuteronomy in the temple. And it brought great tears to the king himself and to the people. And there was a certain amount of reformation. But Jeremiah, though he supported the social and religious reforms of King Josiah, knew what was needed was far more radical than that. It was the renewal of the depraved hearts of men and women. Jeremiah, at times, shares his difficulties with the people of Jerusalem and Judah. In Jeremiah 25:3, he says, the word of the Lord came unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened. Jeremiah knew what it was, day after day, to bring the word of God to the people, only to find rejection from them. In Jeremiah chapter 36, we have a report how that during the reign of King Jehoiakim, the king, Jeremiah sent a scroll of God's word to the king, only for it to be burnt by the king. In Jeremiah chapter 20, in the first two verses, reports how one pasha, on hearing Jeremiah's ministry, physically assaulted the prophet and placed him in the stocks. And if you read through the book of Jeremiah, you lose count of the physical assaults and imprisonments and affronts that this man of God experienced in his life and in his ministry. Oh, dear friends, Jeremiah found that even when he came to his own people, like the Lord Jesus when he went to Nazareth, we read in Jeremiah 11:21, when he came to Anathoth, even the people of his own town sought his life. He said, prophesy, they said to him, prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that thou die not by our hand. But despite all this rejection of the people, like the Apostle Paul after him, Jeremiah remained a deeply sensitive and caring man. And that's maybe something that God is challenging myself and you here this evening who are Christians. Are we caring? Are we compassionate for the lost souls of men and women around us? And we have that wonderful testimony of Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 9 in the opening two verses. Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. For they are all adulterous, an assembly of treacherous men. Oh, dear friends, how we need to weep before God in our day and generation. Though we have not, like the prophet, experienced perhaps physical assault and imprisonment, indeed there are many thousands of Christians in our own, in this very month, in this very year of 2015, who are suffering imprisonment and death, even in these very days in which we live. You and I have not experienced that. You may have, and you can tell me afterwards if you have. We've comparatively had an easy ride, but we know what it is like, Jeremiah, to go week in, week out. We've only seen a handful of people respond to the word of God. And we praise God for the handful. Indeed, I would say I've been most encouraged in the last 5 years. I've seen more people coming to the Lord than I saw in the previous 5 years. God is speaking to people. The most unlikely people, young and old, rich and poor, uneducated and educated. God is saving people in our day. But they are but a handful compared with the majority of people that we face day by day. Jeremiah, during these 40 years of ministry, did not have, like some of us here this evening, a godly life partner and family to support him. Those of us who are married, how thankful we are for our husbands and for our wives and for our families. But in Jeremiah 16:2, we read these words. The Lord says, "Thou shalt not take a wife, neither shalt thou have sons and daughters in this place." Like the Apostle Paul, life was so tough that the Lord didn't want any woman to suffer what Jeremiah the prophet was suffering. In the words of Paul to Timothy, Jeremiah knew what it was to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Indeed, we read those words this evening, didn't we? All those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It may not be to the extreme sort that we see in other parts of the world, but if we are standing for the Lord, we will face pressure and persecution from the world in which we live. Well, you say, preacher, this is all very depressing, and I came to church this evening depressed enough without you depressing me, and I was rather concerned when the Bible reading was from Jeremiah chapter 15, and that's a very depressing chapter. But in the darkness of that chapter, there is the light of the grace of God, which is our text this evening. What we may ask was the secret of Jeremiah maintaining his call. Well, we find it in our text this evening, which is found in verse 16 of our chapter. You know, you get these people, don't you? You get these people say, "Oh, Jeremiah, all gloom and doom." Most of them have never read the book. In the darkness, there is the light of the grace of God. And what a wonderful verse this verse is. Verse 16, which is our text this evening. "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." And he goes on to say, "For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Now the title of our sermon this evening is this: the preciousness of God's word to Jeremiah. The preciousness of God's word to Jeremiah. Jeremiah's communion with God was through his word. Jeremiah's spiritual life before his call and during his 40 years of ministry and in the closing days that he had on earth was sustained by feeding upon God's word daily. I was much helped when I prepared this sermon by turning to an article on Jeremiah by Dr. Thompson in the New Bible Dictionary. That's a very helpful volume. If you haven't got the volume New Bible Dictionary, you see a second-hand one, acquire it. And Dr. Thompson suggests that as a child, Jeremiah grew up in a home where the word of God was shared daily in the spirit of Deuteronomy 6:7. "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Jeremiah was brought up in the home of a priest. He was a godly man. And like Timothy, I believe Jeremiah had known the Holy Scriptures from his childhood. What a great privilege it is, dear friends, if we are a child, to be taught the Scriptures by our parents. And if you are parents or grandparents, there is no greater responsibility than reading and sharing the knowledge of the Scriptures with children. Now, Sunday school have their part, and I'm not decrying Sunday school. There's a great ministry in Sunday schools. But you know, some Christian parents adopt the attitude that the Sunday school is there to teach their children the Word of God. Primarily, Sunday schools were started to evangelize children from non-Christian homes. The primary responsibility for the instruction of children in the Word of God is their Christian parents, their father and their mother. And as a child, Jeremiah would have known the Word of God. As a man, Jeremiah read God's Word. And also as a prophet, received direct revelation to his heart and mind from heaven. God's word was not just simply read and noted, but assimilated into his very being. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. You know, this idea of assimilating the scriptures is, we find it in the word of God. We find it with his colleague Ezekiel. Ezekiel had a similar experience. If you turn to Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 8, he speaks in the same vein. Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 8. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like the rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me. And lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me. And it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that which thou findest. Eat this roll, and go and speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then I did eat it, and it was to my mouth as honey for sweetness. And you say, well, how can that be? Or what are we told at the end of the second chapter? Written therein is lamentations and mourning and woe. How can that be honey and sweetness? Well, it was to the man of God. Because as he assimilated the word of God with the help of the Spirit of God, he was in the full knowledge of God's infinite goodness and justice. Oh, dear friends, this assimilation of God's word is essential for all of God's children. Listen to Job, the patriarch Job, another great book in the Bible. Job 23:12. What does that man of God tell us? I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Oh, dear friends, most of us would complain, and my wife would say I would bitterly complain, if I went a day without a good square meal. I enjoy my food. Not, some of us can't enjoy our food. We have medical conditions that make eating and digestion quite a difficult experience. That's not my problem. I love and enjoy my food. But how much more I should love the word of God. How much more like Job I should be able to say, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. As a fellowship, you've been studying the first epistle of Peter, and in chapter 2 and verses 2 and 3, Peter says to them, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Oh, dear friends, we need to assimilate the word of God. Like with physical food, people differ as to the best time of day to assimilate it. It's not the amount that we read that is important, but how much we assimilate through meditation and understanding. I find that I'm at my best early in the morning. I'm not a late evening man. And I find the best time to be alone and read and meditate upon the scriptures is at the beginning of the day. You may be unlike that. Some people are not morning people, they're evening people. Find the best time of the day when you're most alert in your mind and spend time reading the word of God. And the secret is not reading the whole gospel or a whole epistle at one go. It's not how many chapters you read, but how much you understand. It is better to read 6 verses and understand those 6 verses than read 6 chapters. The important thing is the meditating and understanding and assimilating the word of God. How we need to feed upon the word of God. Let me share with you the testimony of a Chinese Christian. Brother Young, this book was written, it's a biography of his life, it's published in 2002. It's called The Heavenly Man. This brother was put in prison by the Chinese communists for his faith. He now lives in the West. But the thing that struck me about this book has been controversial with some, but I found this book a great blessing. And as I read this book about this brother Young in China, the thing that really impressed me about this man of God was his love for the Bible. His love for the Word of God. There was a time when there was no Bible in his home at all, and in a wonderful way he received a copy of the Word of God. And amongst the people where he lived, there were very few copies of the Bible. They used to have to meet together, hundreds of people with one Bible, sharing the Word of God. And he received the Word of God. And this is what we read, this is what he says. Every day from morning to late evening, I read the Word of God. When I had to work in the fields, I wrapped my Bible inside my clothing and took every opportunity to sit down and read. At night time, I took my Bible with me to bed and laid it on my chest. In the beginning, reading my Bible wasn't easy because I had only received 3 years of education. Furthermore, my Bible was in traditional Chinese script. While I had learned to read simplified characters, I found a dictionary and painstakingly looked up one character at a time as I advanced through the Bible. Finally, I finished reading through the whole Bible. So I started to memorize one chapter per day. After 28 days, I had memorized the whole Gospel of Matthew. I quickly read through the other three Gospels before proceeding to the book of Acts and started to memorize it. Oh, dear friends, would that we would have an appetite and a concern for the Word of God, as did this Chinese Christian. And it was a good job he did memorize the Word of God, because like Watchman Nee before him in a previous generation, he was put into prison and not allowed a copy of the Bible, but it was there in his heart. And in his mind. Who knows, some of us, before we pass into heaven, we may lose our sight and not be able to read the Bible. So it's so important to read and to meditate upon the Word of God, that it's in our minds and in our hearts. Oh, the preciousness of the Word of God to Jeremiah. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Dr. Thompson, again, is very helpful in this article in the New Bible Dictionary. He says the Old Testament ideal of communion with God comes to its finest expression in Jeremiah. It was in this fellowship with God that Jeremiah was able finally to withstand the erosive effects of timidity, anguish, helplessness, hostility, loneliness, despair, misunderstanding, and failure. God's blessing to Jeremiah was the Word of God. He found God's Word and ate them. It was the joy and rejoicing of his heart. As I mentioned this morning, I retired in March from working in the NHS, but last July, one of my colleagues at Babington Hospital in Belper in Derbyshire, she's a domestic pat, and she retired in July, and she was a lovely Christian lady, and I met her in the July of last year, just before she retired, and said to her, well, we'd be thinking of her and hope that she would have a blessed retirement. And she said, what I'm really looking forward to, John, is having more time in the morning and in the day to read and study the Word of God. Jeremiah's understanding of God came through the Word. He understood the character of God and his attributes revealed by the Lord in his Word. Jeremiah 9:24. But let him that glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord who exercise loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth. For these things I delight in, saith the Lord. You know, people say, I've already said it. People say, oh, Jeremiah, gloom and doom. Not so. What was his understanding? Who loves loving kindness and righteousness in the earth. I delight in these things, says the Lord. So like Habakkuk of old, Jeremiah could come in prayer to God and say, Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. Jeremiah found that God was his refuge, Jeremiah 17:12. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. Oh, dear friends, there is not a situation we can face in life where we cannot find help. Working in the NHS, not only in the hospital at Babington, but also in the community, visiting patients in their home. How heartrending it was to go and visit patients who weren't Christians, who were faced with serious trials, some of them facing death, who knew not the Saviour. They knew not where to turn. You and I, whatever tomorrow might bring, we can go to the highest throne of all, the throne of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. Then we turn, I could go on, but time is going. We could turn to his other book, Lamentations. Oh, that's a book full of grace, isn't it? You know, sometimes we have to weep to find God's grace and mercy. Lamentations chapter 3. It is of the Lord's, chapter 3:22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. And I could go on. We could be here for hours going through Jeremiah and Lamentations about the attributes and the character, the nature of the God whom we love and we serve. Oh, dear friends, what a wonderful text this is that we have before us this evening. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Jeremiah's communion with God was through the word of God. Before I move on to our last point this evening, let me give you an illustration. I thank God that I was brought up in North Devon, and I was converted as a teenager in the 1960s. And I've mentioned this man before to you in preaching over the, many years I've been coming here, Dr. John Wilmot. He was pastor of Highgate Road Chapel in London for over 35 years, and in the sovereign purposes of God, he felt he had to retire from the ministry, and he thought, I'll go to North Devon, that's a nice quiet place. And he came to North Devon at the beginning of the 1960s, and what did God do? God saved quite a number of young men and women. And the ministers at the time in North Devon were not that well trained in the word. They'd been to denominational colleges, and though they were converted, they didn't have the depth that this man had got. And this man came to North Devon thinking for a quiet retirement and ended up finding on the Saturday evening he had a group of young men and women who had come to know the Saviour, hungry for the Word of God. And on one occasion, Dr. Wilmot was preaching one Lord's Day in a church in North Devon, and one of the adults in the congregation, one of the older members of the congregation, went up to him after the service and said to him these words. He said, Dr. Wilmot, I wish I had your faith. Dr. Wilmot didn't open his mouth, but passed to him his Bible and then said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, dear friends, you want to be taught, you want to be strengthened, you want to be comforted. Turn to the precious word of God. Thy words were found, I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. But thirdly and lastly, we've looked at the ministry of Jeremiah. We've looked at his communion with God through the word of God. But thirdly and lastly, Jeremiah found comfort in Christ through his word. We have to bring Christ into every sermon, don't we? That's the main theme of the Word of God from beginning to end, is the person of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jeremiah, who saw the depths of human depravity, and wrote in Jeremiah 17:1, the sin of Judah is written with an iron pen, and went on to say, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. This same man saw the remedy for man and his sin in the person of the finished work of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. What Christ said of Abraham, he could say of Jeremiah. He rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Jeremiah, like Abraham and Isaiah and many before him, greeted the Lord Jesus Christ afar off. Jeremiah is full of the person of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Let's just look at some of the references this evening. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verses 5 and 6. Jeremiah 23 verses 5 and 6. A wonderful prophecy of our Saviour. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. And in his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and in verse 22, the prophet speaks of a new nativity to deliver us from our fallen nativity. Jeremiah 31:22. For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. Not only in Isaiah, behold, a virgin shall conceive. It's here in Jeremiah chapter 31 and 32. 31 verse 22. Then we have the wonderful gospel of regenerating grace in the new covenant. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and verses 31 to 34. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts, and I will write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbour and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall know me from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. My dear friends, Jeremiah found comfort in Christ through the revelation of God's word. Oh, dear friends, how wonderful this is. Jeremiah also sees that the gospel is not just for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. Jeremiah 16:19. O Lord, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth. Oh, dear friends, the wonderful gospel of our Lord and Saviour. No wonder Jeremiah was able to say that the word of God was the joy and the rejoicing of his heart. Oh, my dear friends, have you come to know the Christ that Jeremiah greeted afar off in his day and generation? Have you come to know the joy of sins forgiven and peace with God? Have you come to know God writing his word, not upon your mind, but upon your heart by the power of his Holy Spirit? Oh, dear friends, how wonderful is our Saviour. How wonderful was Jeremiah's experience of the Word of God. My friend, have you ever assimilated God's precious Word? Can you at this moment in time say, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Amen.